الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعمه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نعت موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا أجل ممدود فطر الخلائق بقدرته وأنشر الرياح بالرحمة ووطد بصخور ميدان أرضه ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على النبي الأمي القرشي الهاشمي المكي المدني سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين ولعنة الله على العالم أجمعين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات ليس Before I begin, I'd like to remove any confusion. I am not Samir Razvi. This happens, it happens again. My name is not Samir Razvi. I'm his cousin from New Jersey, and I'm Maulana's younger son-in-law. So, salawat, please. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I know you are already tired from listening to Urdu Shairi and enjoying it. Just very briefly, some points in English about Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his struggle. We understand that we're commemorating or remembering the life of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his companions. We know that throughout our life, the most important day on which we remember Imam Hussain alayhi salam is Ashura. And one of the aspects of Ashura is the jihad or the struggle of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So this concept of jihad is what we will be talking about. I will be sharing with you today, inshallah. And the concept of jihad that we have in Islam is very important to understand today, because all kinds of corruptions and misunderstandings are leading to events that remove us from this true understanding of Islam. Basically, as we have a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, that jihad is of two types. If for those of you who don't remember, he was sitting once and a few of his companions came from a war or a campaign. And when they came back, he congratulated them. He said, "You are those who have returned from the smaller jihad, the smaller war and the smaller struggle, and then you have to go back to the greater jihad or the greater struggle." And they were surprised, because mostly we think, you know, going out and fighting, and other verses in the Quran which ask us to fight with our amwal and our nafus, we think that it is going out and fighting in battle that is the true jihad. And this misunderstanding is what we see today. Some of our Muslim brothers, may God guide them, are taking these concepts without understanding the depth, and are going and fighting without understanding the true purpose of jihad, and without having the inner jihad that leads us to the greater jihad. What he meant, what the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, for those men that came back, was that the inner jihad, the internal jihad, is the jihad of the nafs, is the fighting and the struggle that we have inside ourselves that we have to go through every day. And because of this, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam has said, that every day is Ashura, every land is Karbala, because it is a jihad that we go through from morning till evening. Now, briefly, an understanding of this external jihad that we have, this jihadul asghar, or lesser or minor jihad that we have in Islam. The ulama of fiqh, the ulama that have understood the fiqh and the law of Islam, divide this jihad, the external jihad, into two types: defensive and offensive. And this is the external jihad that we see physically. And defensive jihad has to be done, or is wajib upon everybody in the land. For example, if a Muslim land or a Muslim place is attacked or taken over by enemy forces, everybody there, women, children, everybody should come and defend that land. That's one point. And then defensive jihad is required only to remove these forces, and only to remove these enemy forces from those Muslim lands, so that the Muslims and their honor is safe. The second type of external jihad is offensive jihad. And this struggle or this defense is only there when the Imam or the Ma'soom or someone who represents him is leading this offensive jihad, is leading this kind of jihad. Someone who is in his office or designated by him, or he himself is leading the Muslim community to go and conquer new lands, to go and conquer new places. And it is up to him to decide where and when this should occur. So this is the short concept of external or lesser jihad that we have. Salawat, please. Now coming to the topic of, the main topic is the greater jihad. The jihad that is inside ourselves. Now if we think about it, what's going on in the news today is a lot of times you see these new discoveries about human beings, about our soul, about the way we are, right? About our relationships and society. I don't remember the latest thing, but there were many interesting things coming up all the time. And our mind tends to think differently. For example, when we're driving, especially when you're driving across state lines or other places, you see a big country or big land, you think this is a big country. This has many things. Canada is one of the biggest countries in the world. But at the same time, Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying, وَفِيكَ أَنْتَ وَالْعَالَمَ الْأَكْبَرُ أَتَظُنُّ أَنَّكَ جُرْمٌ صَغِيرٌ. You think that you're a small thing in comparison to this world, but a great world is inside you. So the mountains and the rivers that are outside, there's more things inside our soul and inside our nafs, inside our psyche that is capable of strength that we see in Karbala, that is capable of strength that we see in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So this energy needs to be trained, this energy needs to be fought with, this energy has that aspect of everyday Karbala, everyday a struggle, everyday a battle, from the time we wake up and the time we go to, until the time we go to sleep. So this kind of internal struggle is what Imam Hussain alayhi salam is showing. This kind of internal struggle is what Hazrat Abbas is showing. This kind of internal struggle is what Bibi Zainab is showing us by doing these actions. They do not care about external reality. It is their internal reality and internal truth that is manifesting throughout. And it is, you know, historically, if this war would have happened, if Karbala would have happened, we would have thought that maybe Yazid won, if we did not have Basira, if we did not have the sight. We would have thought, like everyone else did at that time, that Yazid had conquered, for example. But history shows differently. History shows that it is the internal truth, that internal jihad, and those who are successful in the way of Allah, fi sabilillah, that last. And it's their message that comes through. And it is not temporal power. It is internal power. Salawat, please. So now coming in and talking about internal jihad, how do we approach this? It's a very big subject. It's very scary for the ulama of akhlaq and nufus and those scholars who are dealing with this to come and talk about these things, because the human mind is so big and vast. So the ulama have come and they have divided it into three parts. The first part is called the fiqh al-asghar, which is the smaller law, which is the sharia that we deal with. It is not small because it's not important, it is important. But they have divided this way. The smaller one is the sharia, the halal and the haram. The greater one than that is the akhlaq, is what is proper to do. It is the proper adab and manners of behavior within ourselves when we are alone, when we are with our families, and when we are out in society. When we are with the Muslims and the Mu'mineen, and when we are outside with the non-Muslims. So these laws and rules are what dictate and show us the way to this greater jihad, this internal jihad. Salawat, please. There are a few points we should realize about our nafs and about our souls before we begin to understand what benefits us or what kind of jihad, right? If you go to a doctor and the doctor has not studied anything about the human body, or maybe you have something in your finger and he knows nothing about your anatomy, then what is the point of going to him? He cannot cure you. You must first know in engineering what materials they are and what the effects of certain materials are in building bridges and building cars. And the same thing with doctors. So at the same time, we must understand our fundamental constitution before we move on and try to fix it and cure it in this struggle for inner jihad. few points we understand that the human nafs and the soul is by nature unruly. It is by default, by itself, if you leave it by itself, right, it's unruly, it's disobedient. It does not listen. It wants only its own pleasure, it does not think forward. Right? And this human nafs, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَمَّارَةَ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. This is Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. When he was there, he made a very big statement. When Zulaikha was there, everyone knows the story. He said, the nafs is calling toward wrong things and evil things, except the rahmat of Allah, except that the mercy of Allah covers it. And how do we get to the mercy of Allah? By getting close to Him, by following Him, so that His mercy comes and covers us, by doing things that please Him. Salawat, please. The second point about the nafs, briefly, is that it is the training of the nafs and the purification of the nafs and ourselves that takes us towards success. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Verily successful the one that purifies it, that does zaki or zakawat of this nafs. This is the second point. The third point about the nafs is that not following that path and leaving it takes us to misguidance. It takes us towards something that removes us from this world. The entire aspect of revelation of Islam is simply in the marifat of the nafs. There was once a very big scholar in the holy city of Qom, and many students went to him, and they were very excited. For many days they were preparing to go and meet him. And they wanted some advice from him, obviously, when you go to someone who is elder and has some experience. And they went to him and they read up all these books. They said they thought he might question them about these books and about all the subjects that are taught there. And finally, after a few days, they went to see him and they were sitting next to him. And they asked him, they said, please give us some advice, give us some books. And they had their pens and papers ready to understand what he was trying to say. So they would write the books and go and study and read these books and research. He said, the only book I can tell you to read and understand is your nafs. He said, the only book that I commend to you is your own nafs. And they were shocked and surprised. He said, you're carrying with yourself something that is more precious than any book or any title that I can give you. So if you purify yourself and purify what you have, then you will be successful. So what? And we see that it is only the pleasure and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can guide us. When we come into this aspect of training ourselves, of moving forward through the message of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, we see that it is only the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the angels are saying, مَنْ اتَّقَى السَّيِّئَاتِ فَقَدْ رَحِمْتَ. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day of judgment, if someone's evil, the evil that a person did, even one sin, if that sin is not affecting them on that day of judgment, and they're forgiven, it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not something that we do. We think mechanically. We think that I can go, I can pray, you know, my points are going up, my numbers are going up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not that way. If our actions please, that is the importance of our niyat and our intention, if our actions please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then only can we be successful. Salawat. So this is about the nafs. Now, how do we understand that we have to, what aspect of the nafs can we learn from Imam Hussain today? We understood that the nafs is important. We can take away the basic fundamentals, which is the senses, the five senses. Everyone knows this from the wisdom of the Greeks, is we have five senses. We can hear, we can smell, we can touch, we can taste, and we can see. These are the five senses that we have. And we know from the ulama of wisdom that these five senses are what leads to our actions. This five senses and what feeds the five senses is eventually what will affect us inside. That will shape the color and nature of our nafs. It's like saying you have a car and the car is driving and the car is going on a road and it has five windows and each window has a certain hole and the air is coming in from each side. So the quality and the manner of the air that this car is exposed to will define the quality and the manner of the air inside the car. If I keep driving to the city, if I go from here to downtown, if I go from here to Buffalo, and I stay inside the city, it's only the pollution and the dirt of the city that comes in and pollutes the car. And the air inside the car will not be breathable. You will have all these pollutants if you test it. But at the same time, if I drive to nature, if I drive to a natural park, if I go to Banff, for example, right? And I keep my car in a natural environment when it's nice and pure, the air inside the car will be pure. It will be clean. If we test the air, we will see that we'll be able to breathe. It is the same way with our nafs. It is the same way with our five senses. If we keep ourselves in a clean environment, an environment that is clean and pure, if we do not expose our five senses to things that they're not supposed to be exposed to, our internal state, internal condition will only improve. Salawati. Briefly, there was a dervish or a beggar that went to someone's house. And he went there to beg for food. So the man opened the house, right? And when he opened the house, he opened the door. And the beggar asked him, he said, "Do you have any food?" He said, "No." He said, "Do you have any rice?" He said, "I don't have any rice." "You have any barley?" "I don't have any barley." "You have any bread?" "There's no bread." "You have any dates?" "Nothing." This man kept naming foods. The man was stingy. He said, "No, I don't have anything." He said, "Okay, do you have any water, any tea, any juice for me?" He said, "I have nothing to give you. No money, nothing." The man obviously had a rich house. So in the end, the dervish went. He got really angry. He came into the house in the middle of the room, and he took his clothes off, and he started going to the bathroom. And he said, "What are you doing in my house, in my big house?" He said, stupid man, there's nothing here. I'm trying to grow something. I'm trying to fertilize this land so something grows." So you see, this is the wisdom of these people that they act. So one person who has something, who gains something, he shares it with the others. If you learn a method to control one of the senses, maybe there's a website that brothers can go to on the internet and spend their time when they're online and look at something. Maybe there's a qari of the Quran that you like listening to. You can share that with your brothers. Right? These five senses that we'll go into, inshallah, and controlling them. Salawat, please. So these senses, right? Taste. Let's take taste, for example. If we prevent from ourselves from tasting something that is haram, the effect of that is the angels praying for us. You know, do not think that living here and eating halal is something that we do. There's much sawab, there's many hadiths about the angels praying for us every time we eat one morsel or one spoonful of halal food, for example. And especially in this environment, this country, doing that, it brings the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same thing with touching. Touching is another sense. We have to be aware of these senses, external senses, right? We cannot touch haram. We cannot touch things that are haram or people that are haram for us to touch or go with. That is very important. Even being najis and touching the cover of the Quran has a bad effect on you. We cannot handle the energy because you're not clean enough. That is why taharat is very important, right? And touching halal in a halal relationship also causes forgiveness of sins. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam has a statement, two very, very strange statements for him. And one of them is that when he said that when two brothers meet, mu'mineen meet, they shake hands. And then when they meet, they shake hands. And when they leave, they shake hands when they're leaving each other. And the duration of that time, the entire sins are being forgiven. Just being there, shaking their hands, their sins are being forgiven. And at another time, someone asked him, "What is the hadd al-musafiha? When should we shake hands with brothers when we see them?" He said, "Dauratun nakhla," which means the time it takes to go around a palm tree, walk around a palm tree. After that, each time it takes maybe 2 minutes to walk around a palm tree. After that, you should keep renewing your handshakes. You should keep shaking hands with the brothers that you're sitting with. He's talking about the importance of touching the mu'mineen, so the iman that is inside is transferred to you. So watch this. Thirdly, the third sense is smell. Smelling, for example. This is very important because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi said, I love three things from your world, and one of them, he said, was perfume. He loved the perfume of this world. And it's very important in Islam to smell very nicely, to clean ourselves, especially when we are going to pray in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we're coming to see our brothers in Mu'mineen. So the importance of smell, and smell, they say, is the strongest of the senses and has the greatest memory. It can bring back the greatest memories. And when we pass by something that is of a bad odor, we cover our noses. We cover our noses so that this bad odor does not come. Another story, one of the ulama of Irfan and spirituality was walking, and his student saw him. And he saw a woman walking, and the woman was dressed very improperly. This was in Iran before the revolution of Islam. And the teacher looked down and he covered his nose. He covered his nose and he walked by. And the student was thinking, this is really strange. Why is he covering his nose? He looks down, but what does the nose have to do with it? And the teacher understood what was in the heart of the student, and he turned around and said, I can smell the odor that she has, the bad odor that this woman has, but not covering herself. And the bad odors are attracting people, and the men that are looking at her are also being infected by this bad odor. So he covered his nose. Salawat, please. So that is the importance of smelling. The fourth sense is hearing, to hear something. Right? We have hadith that even listening to the Quran, even listening, not reciting it, but listening to someone recite the Quran has rewards. It has its own sawabs. So we must be aware of what we listen to. These days, music has become the greatest venue through which the imagination of our youth and imagination of people is being taken, hijacked, is being taken over by ideologies and ideas. It's very easy these days with technology to play something, to play a certain type of music, and people become attracted and start following it. It's very easy. So we must be careful of the types of things we listen to. Alhamdulillah, there's many things online on the internet. I don't even have to mention, you probably know more than me. There are majalis in English, there's Quran, there's all these things that we can divide our time listening to and giving the right to our hearing. Lastly, and most importantly, is the sight, which is the most common of it, which is the most common and most important of all the senses. And again, I don't have to repeat it, but looking upon haram and looking at haram creates a certain atmosphere. Once what happened, one of the ulama was sitting and he had a session with some students. And some of the students came. And one man came a little late. And when the man came a little late, the teacher looked at him in front of everybody. He went inside. He brought his wife's chadar, or wife's hijab, and gave to this man to wear. And this was really funny. They said, what are you doing? He's a man. You're not supposed to give him this kind of a hijab. He said, when he was on his way here, he looked at a woman and he was looking at her, and his nafs has now taken on her shape. His internal reality has now taken on her form. That is why I'm giving this to him. So he realizes the mistake that he made. So what? So basically, he wants us to be aware of these things, just aware of how we treat and take our senses, how we take these senses and how we give them their right. And we place alternatives in our life. And we make sure that in this society, in this country, in this place, when we're being bombarded left, right, and center, and this shaitan is coming through the sense, it does not reach our aql, it does not reach our intellect. And we are careful from separating the good from the bad. Salawat, please. Lastly, we do realize that how does this tie in to Imam Hussein al-Islam? How does this tie in to Karbala? Of course, there's a struggle every day that we go through to improve our senses and to cover ourselves properly and to make sure that we are not being bombarded by these things. We see that Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, Wallahi ma sulihat dunya wala din illa bihi, aw illa bis saif. Nothing. Imam Ali is saying nothing in the world, nothing in the deen or the world, in religion or faith and in the world, can be improved except with the sword. Except with the sword. And this goes hand in hand with the hadith that every day is Ashura and every land is Karbala. This is very important. So we can imagine every day being Ashura, and Imam Ali alayhi salam, that if you want to improve yourself, use the sword. Externally, of course, we understand this is what the concept of jihad we talked about, smaller jihad, using the sword and defending ourselves, or using the sword to obey the Imam, for example. But internally, it is the sword that we constantly have to have. It is the internal symbolism of the Zulfiqar that we have to have in ourselves, with us, every single day. Right? By removing these veils, by making sure that we do not listen to something that is haram, we do not see something that is haram, we do not taste something that is haram, we do not smell something that leads us to certain conditions. And this is the message from Imam Ali as-Salam. And we see that in Karbala, it is the perfection of the Imams and the Holy Personalities through training, through constant training, through the proper leadership of the Imams, that they have reached a certain level that whatever they see, it does not affect them. Their insight has become so strong, and Janabi Zainab alayhi salam is saying, Ma raitu Allah jameela. After seeing all this massacre, after seeing all this blood, after her senses being affected, her soul is so powerful and connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that she sees only His beauty. She sees the manifestation of beauty. She has trained herself. She has trained her soul and her nafs to a certain level that she sees only the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat please. The internal senses, the senses inside, are anger, passion and imagination. Shahwa, ghadab and wahab. These three are the internal senses. And these three also need to be controlled. And this is more related to akhlaq or adab. To control our anger when we are angry. To control our passion and go away from shaitan when he comes to us. To control our imagination. Because some imaginations are also sins, as the Quran says. It's the same thing we see with Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam when he's in Karbala and he's angry and he wants to push forward. He's obeying his Imam, he's obeying his leader. He's obeying the one that commands him because he's in control of that sense. He's in control of that perception. He's in control of his anger through training. Salawat please. And we see that Imam Zainal Abidin alayhi salam is doing the same. When so many people come to him after Karbala asking about, or the enemies from Sham come and make fun of him, he's calm and composed. His anger is composed, his passion is composed, his imagination is composed. He's calm and collected at all times. He's like a mountain that these people cannot move. Right? Once Imam Zainal Abidin was walking and there's a man who came and was making fun of him. And he was walking, the man came behind him and took his abba off and threw it on the ground. Our reaction would be to get angry. Our reaction would be, immediately our anger kicks in because we have no training of that anger. But Imam Zainal Abidin alayhi salam was cool and composed. He looked at the ground, those that were with him went and picked up his abba and came back and he gave nasiha to the man. He said to the man was a joker. It was a professional joke. He would go around playing practical jokes. He said, this will not lead you to anything. This will not lead you to any success. So finally, we see that it is the training of these five senses. It is the training of these five doors that through which we can go. Finally, to finish with one story, there was a man who went to a teacher in the city of Mashhad. And when he went to the teacher said, he had a claim that the gates of heaven and the gates of hell are in his house. People were here, you know, the gates of heaven, the gates of hell are in his house. And they were surprised. They said, how can this be possible? And he said, the five gates of hell and the six gates of heaven, five gates of hell, six gates of heaven, are in my house. So one of the brothers went to go see him, one of the people went to go see him. And when he saw him, he said, where are these gates? He said, go outside. When he went outside his house, it was just the mirror. It was a mirror. He looked at the mirror, he said, I only see myself. He said, these five senses are the gates to hell. If you do not control them and control what comes in and out of them, what your tongue says, right, and what you hear, then you will be taken away. You will be taken to hell. And he said, the sixth thing is training these five for the right intention. He said, the sixth thing the six gates of heaven are these five senses and your intention. Salawat, please. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, give us the strength to worship Him, to understand the message of every day being Karbala, and to understand that we are on this path, inshallah, training ourselves and training our senses. Just one thing, if you can go home and just do today, go home and before you sleep, look at the perception and look at what you saw, what you heard, what you smelled, and try to train that every single day. When you go back and you see every single day, that you put more Quran and what you listen to, for example. You try not to look at haram. These things, inshallah, will improve our condition with the mercy of Allah. Salawat, please.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, Ahsan, Assalamualaikum Allah. Salam Majid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. आप लोग थक जाएं, मैं एक और घंटा लेने वाला हूँ. वैसे मैंने देखिए इतना भोसा लाया था, मगर पढ़ने वाला नहीं हूँ. माशाल्लाह इतना हैवी डोज दे दिया है आपको. माला इनका नाम समीर अली है, मेरे तीसरे दामाद हैं, सेकेंड दामाद भी यहाँ पर हैं. अल्लाह का ये बहुत बड़ा करम है कि अल्लाह ने दो दामादों को कुंभ में रखा है. खुदा इंशाल्लाह हम सबको तौफीक दे कि हमारी औलाद नेक हो और राह खुदा में इसी तरह से जिहाद करते रहें जिस तरह से आपने सुना, आपने देखा हवास खमसा को किस तरह से इस्तेमाल किया जाता है. मैं जरा सा उसी से टच करते हुए दो चार जुमले, आप भी जरा सा मुस्कुराएं. बहुत सीरियस हो गया था तो मैं जरा सा आपको मुस्कुरा दूं ताकि आप लोग यहां से जाएं तो इन हवास को किस तरह से अक्ल के कंट्रोल में ला सके. एक सलवात पढ़िए मोहम्मद वाले मोहम्मद. बिस्मिल्लाह रहमान रहीम व बिही नस्तईन. या अय्यतुहन नफ्सुल मुत्मइन्ना इरजिई इला रब्बिकी राधियतम मर्दिया फदखुली फी इबादी वदखुली जन्नती. सबसे पहले मैं अपनी तरफ से आज की ये दो अजीम मिलादें की मुबारकबाद हमारे वली नेमत इमाम ज़माना अज्जलल्लाहु ताला फरजहु शरीफ, अल्लाहुम्म सल्ली अला मुहम्मद की खिदमत में, और उसके बाद उनके डिप्टीज जो सेल्फलेसली इस्लाम और मुस्लिमीन की खिदमत कर रहे हैं उनकी खिदमत में, रहबर मुअज़्ज़म और आप तमाम ब्रादरान और खैरत मुखरान की खिदमत में पेश करने की सआदत हासिल करता हूँ. और खुदा से दुआ है कि हमें यह तौफीक दे कि इन चमनिस्तान अहले बैत से कुछ फूल की पंखड़ियां लेकर जाएं और अपनी जिंदगी को ऐसे मुअत्तर करें कि फिर कोई गंदगी हमारे शमा में रूह में न उतर सके इंशाअल्लाह. सलावत पढ़िए मोहम्मद वाले मोहम्मद पर. आप लोग थक गए हैं, मजबूर है, मैं खड़ा हूं क्या कर सकेंगे. अल्लाहुम्मा सल्ली अला अब्बास. ने चराग वफा के जला दिए, अब्बास ने चराग वफा के जला दिए, मुंह से नहीं अमल से सबूत वफा दिए. अब्बास ने चराग वफा के जला दिए, मुंह से नहीं अमल से सबूत वफा दिए. हद है के मश्क भरने में जो हो गए थे तर, अब्बास ने उन हाथों को अपने कटा दिए. सलावत पढ़िए मोहम्मद वाले मोहम्मद का. शौक इजहार मवद्दत को नया मोड़ दिया, मदह की राह में एक अपना निशान छोड़ दिया. था इरादा के बउनवान वफा कुछ लिखूं, मैंने अब्बास लिखा और कलम तोड़ दिया. मैंने अब्बास लिखा और कलम तोड़ दिया. अब्बास शान मजहर परवरदिगार है, मुश्किल कुशा मिजाज है, हैदर वकार है. अब्बास जाने फातिमा पर जानिसार है, इस पर निसार फातिमा जहरा का प्यार है. इस पर निसार फातिमा जहरा का प्यार है. मैं नाम हजरत अब्बास जब भी लेता हूं, मैं नाम हजरत अब्बास जब भी लेता हूँ, फिजा में गूंजती है जुल्फकार की झनकार. बरादरान अजीज, दो जुमले دیکھیے حواس خمسہ کا استعمال اور صحیح استعمال کی خوبصورت مثالیں جو دی گئیں اور ہمارے لیے یہ کافی ہے، یہ ہضم کر لیں. اور آج کے لیے، آج کی محفل میں، ذات پروردگار نے اس جسم میں سب کچھ رکھا ہے اور اس جسم سے ہی معرفت حاصل ہوتی ہے. اسی لیے معصوم کا قول ہے، من عرف نفسہ فقد عرف ربہ، جس نے اپنے نفس کو پہچانا اس نے اپنے رب کو پہچانا. خدا نے پانچ قوتیں دی ہیں اور ہر قوت انسان کی وہ خود ڈائریکٹ کام کرتی نہیں ہے جب تک کہ قوی قوت اس کا رہنمائی نہ کرے. آنکھ دیکھتی نہیں ہے، آنکھ کا کام صرف اتنا ہے کہ ریٹینا میں، پردے میں تصاویر کو لا لینا. آنکھ یہ نہیں کہتی کہ یہ میری ماں ہے، یہ میرا باپ ہے. ریسپٹر سیلز ہیں جو دماغ تک پہنچاتے ہیں اور یہ کہتے ہیں ہوشیار رہو، کس سے بات کر رہے ہو. یہ سیل کہہ رہے ہیں، یہ میسج کہہ رہے ہیں، کون فیصلہ کر رہا ہے یہ ماں ہے یا نامحرم ہے، اس کو نہ دیکھو. یہ آنکھ فیصلہ نہیں کر رہی ہے بلکہ انسان کا دماغ ہے، انسان کا برین ہے. تو آنکھ وسیلہ ہے عقل تک پہنچنے کا، توجہ کا طالب ہوں. زبان چکتی ہے، زبان کا کام چکنا ہے، لیکن یہ بتانا کام نہیں ہے اس کا کہ اس کا ذائقہ کیا ہے. ریسپٹر سیلز جاتے ہیں، برین تک میسج پہنچتا ہے. برین یہ کہتا ہے یہ کسالا ہے، یہ میٹھا ہے، یہ کھٹا ہے. یہ زبان کا کام نہیں ہے، یہ عقل کا کام ہے. برادران عزیز، اسی طرح سے خدا نے سننے کی طاقت دی ہے. ہزاروں کا مجمع ہے، ہزاروں کے مجمع میں ایک بچے کی آواز آتی ہے، ماں اٹھتی ہے کہتی ہے یہ میرا ہی بچہ ہے. یہ کس نے کہہ دیا یہ اس کا بچہ ہے؟ کہ یہ لہریں کچھ ایسی ہیں کہ اتنی امانت دار ہیں، کان تک پہنچاتی ہیں، تو کہیں پر وہ اپنی امانت داری میں خیانت نہیں کرتی. اور پہنچا دیا میسج کو، لیکن کام کا یہ کام نہیں ہے. یہ کہہ دے یہ بچے کی آواز ہے، یہ غیبت ہے، اس کو نہ سنو، بلکہ یہ عقل کا کمال ہے. تو سنیے حضور، خدا نے پانچ قوتیں دی ہیں اور ایک عقل. یہ پانچ قوتیں وسیلہ ہیں عقل تک پہنچنے کا. خدا نے کائنات میں بھی پنجتن کو دیا ہے اس تک پہنچنے کا. وہ محمود ہے تو محمد کی ضرورت ہے، وہ اعلیٰ تو علی کی ضرورت ہے، وہ فاطر السماوات تو فاطمہ کی ضرورت ہے، وہ محسن ہے تو حسن کی ضرورت ہے، وہ قدیم احسان ہے تو حسین کی ضرورت ہے. پرواز پڑھیے محمد والے محمد. برادران عزیز، اب یہ سوال جو اٹھایا گیا تھا یہاں پر، اس برین کو ٹرین کیسے کیا جائے، یہی سوال ہے. اس برین کی ٹریننگ کا کام ہی ہے ان مقامات جن کا نام ہے المہدی، جن کا نام ہے معصومین سے. اگر کوئی میری تقریر سے متاثر ہو رہا ہے تو باقری کے ذہن میں کہیں خناس نہیں آنا چاہیے. یہ تقریر ہے جو انسان کو متاثر کر رہا ہے، کر رہی ہے نہیں، یہ اسلام ہے جو متاثر کر رہا ہے. اگر کوئی مجمع کو دیکھ کر المہدی کی کمیٹی یہ نہ سمجھے کہ یہ کمیٹی کا کمال ہے، اتنوں کو بلا لیا، نہ، اسلام نے دعوت دیا ہے. کریڈٹ اسلام کو دیتے چلے جائیے، آپ کے حواس میں اور ترقی ہوتی چلی جائے گی. اسی لیے معصوم کا قول ہے، وما تشاؤون، قرآن کہتا ہے وما تشاؤون الا ان یشاء اللہ، یہ خود کچھ نہیں چاہتے جو کچھ اللہ چاہتا ہے. ان تنصر اللہ ینصرکم ویثبت اقدامکم، تم اللہ کی مدد کرو تو اللہ تمہاری مدد کرے گا. کیا اللہ محتاج ہو گیا ہے؟ مفسرین نے کہا نہ، اللہ کی مدد سے مراد ان تنصر دین اللہ، اگر تم اللہ کے دین کی مدد کرو خدا تمہارے. اسی لیے کہنا پڑا شاہ است حسین، بادشاہ است حسین، دین است حسین. حسین دین ہے. دین میں کیا ہے؟ اصول دین ہے، فروع دین ہے. دین میں توحید ہے، دین میں عدالت ہے، دین میں نبوت ہے، دین میں امامت ہے، دین میں قیامت ہے، دین میں نمازیں ہیں، دین میں روزے ہیں، دین میں حج ہے، دین میں زکات ہے. دین است حسین، یعنی توحید کو سمجھنا ہو تو حسین سے، عدالت کو سمجھنا ہو تو حسین ہے، امامت کو سمجھنا ہو تو امامت امام حسین سے رسالتوں کو سمجھنا ہو تو حسین ہے، قیامت تک پہنچنا ہو تو حسین سے، نمازیں حسین سے، روزے حسین سے، حج حسین سے. اب چونکہ حسین دین ہے، دی پناہ است حسین، نہ صرف توحید حسین ہے، توحید کو پناہ دینے والا حسین ہے، عدل حسین ہے، عدالت کو پناہ دینے والا حسین ہے، نبوت حسین ہے، نبوتوں کو پناہ دینے والا حسین ہے. اسی لیے تو زیارت پڑھتے ہیں، السلام علیک یا وارث آدم صفوت اللہ. تو آئیے برادران عزیز، وارث انبیاء کا نام ہے حسین. آج ولادت منا رہے ہیں، آج بہترین اس تقریر کے بعد میں خود جو ہے لطف اٹھا رہا ہوں. خدا سے امید ہے کہ میری بہنیں، میرے گھر والے اپنے حواس کو اتنے قوی کر لیں کہ دیکھیں تو کچھ نہ دیکھیں وہی جو خدا چاہے، سنیں تو کچھ نہ سنیں وہی جو خدا چاہے، بولیں تو وہی بولیں جو خدا چاہے. اگر یہ مزاج اگر اس کی مزاج میں مل جائے گا تو اس خلوص کا نام ہے حسین، جس نے اپنے تمام وجود کو اس میں ملا دیا تھا. جب اپنے وجود کو اس میں ملا دیا، خدا نے کہا یا حسین، اب تک دنیا سے میں پوچھتا تھا، میں تجھ سے راضی ہوں، میں تجھ سے راضی ہوں، لیکن آج میں تم سے پوچھ رہا ہوں کیا تم بھی مجھ سے راضی ہو. حسین اس منزل کا نام ہے جہاں پر ندا الہی آ رہی ہے، اے حسین کیا تو راضی ہے جن نعمتوں کو میں پرووائڈ کر رہا ہوں. برادران عزیز، آخر میں چین دنیا میں ملے، راحت عقبا مل جائے، شدت عشق ملے، غم کا سلیقہ مل جائے، کاسے دل لیے حاضر ہیں درے دولت پر، فاطمہ آپ کی اولاد کا صدقہ مل جائے. صلوات پڑھیے محمد والے محمد. خدایا پروردگارا، ہمیں زندہ رکھنا تو اہل بیت کی محبت میں زندہ رکھ، اٹھانا تو انہی کی محبت میں اٹھا لے. پرچم اسلام کو بلند فرما، دشمنان اسلام کو نابود فرما، ظالمین کو صفحہ ہستی سے مٹا دے، مظلومین کی مدد فرما. پروردگارا مسلمانوں کی طرف، اسلامی حکومت کی طرف، اسلامی انقلاب کی طرف دنیا دیکھ رہی ہے، خدایا اس کی نگاہوں کو اس